for all that he is. Amen. You can be.
Amen, amen. Y'all can be seated. My name is Matt Wooster, and I am the student pastor here at Lakeland Baptist Church, and I'm glad to have you here with us, and I get the privilege this morning of preaching God's Word. Now, lately, my wife Molly and I have been watching Disney Plus, the newest of streaming services that are out there. And on Disney Plus, you'll find several different kinds of movies. You have your Star Wars movies, which I'm very keen to, love it. So if you want to come talk to me after service, I'd love to talk some Star Wars, some theories that are coming out with the new movie releasing December 20th. December 20th, that's right? I think I got it down. Then you got some of the old Disney movies as well, some classics that are on there. And then you have the Marvel movies. And I'm bringing this up because all movies, everybody likes a good movie because of its redemptive story. For example, the Avengers series that came out couldn't have ended with Infinity Wars. Some of the major characters kind of dying off, and I probably wasn't supposed to say that part, but that couldn't have been the final movie. It had to have the good guys saving the day, making all things right. It had to have that redemptive story for it to end right. We're hardwired to want redemption for all things to be made well. And what better a passage to look at this morning than John 3, 16 through 17. So if you would, turn with me in your Bibles to John 3, 16 and 17. As I talk to us this morning about why did Jesus come to us? John writes here, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." So as we know, John chapter 3 is a story about a well-known Pharisee, Nicodemus, coming to Jesus at night. And ultimately, their conversation leads to the reason Jesus came. That Jesus might save us, come down from heaven to us. Now, John 3:16 talks about the love of God. And so my first point for us this morning is that Jesus came to us because God loves us. Jesus says, "For God so loved the world." You see, love is an expression of who God is. It's his nature, it's his character, it's who he is. 1 John 4:8 says, "Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love." And then he follows up with the next verse. He says this about how he expresses his love by sending his Son. In 1 John 4:9, it says, "In this the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him." This is how we experience the love of God, that Jesus would come to us. Now, Jesus came to us, and in this Christmas season, it's very crucial we know this. Because we would not have Christmas unless Jesus first came down vulnerable in the form of a baby to imperfect parents to flee for his life so that we might have salvation. And if I were Jesus, this is not the way I would have chosen. If I had all power, if I had any option out there, I would not have chosen the option Jesus chose, right? But Jesus came down like this. And even more so, Jesus never tried to hide from, never tried to run from sorrow, never tried to run from any of the pain this world gives us. We see this in Isaiah 53, as Isaiah prophesies about Jesus. He says in verses 2 and 3, "For he," Jesus, "grew up from him, before him like a young plant, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form of majesty that we should look at him, no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised and we esteemed him not. Jesus endured this life for each and every one of us in here, and he suffered on our behalf for us. And yet through all of this, he didn't sin. He never compromised himself. Even on his worst day, he never gave himself an excuse to sin. And when his enemies wanted to kill him, what happened? His closest companions left him. He was abandoned. He was led to the cross to suffer and die for our sins. And all of this is because God's love is so great, that he would give his only son to save us so that we might believe and have eternal life in Jesus. Which leads me to my second point this morning. Jesus came to us because God wanted to save us. God loves us. But God's love was just not this feeling, this emotion, this distant thought. But he came down to save us. He did something about the love that he had within him. Jesus came to save us. So look with me back at verse 17 again. I want to read verse 17 one more time. Verse 17 says, "For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that we might be saved through him." As we're taking the Lord's Supper this morning, I think it's important for our hearts to remember that Jesus didn't come down from heaven to send us to hell. We were already going in that direction. But Jesus came down to make a way, to give us access to God, to give us access to eternity, to a place where there's no more sin, no more pain, no more suffering, forevermore with him. That's what Jesus came to do. Something we always need to remind ourselves and remind our hearts is that it's all about Jesus. And we focus our heart on Jesus. Not self-will, not trying to do better, not trying to try harder, not trying to beat ourselves up, but focusing our eyes on Jesus. This is not in my notes here, but I often talk to students that are struggling. Whenever I'm giving them counsel, I tell them, you know, if you're trying to quit a sin, if you're trying to stop a struggle, just like an alcoholic would not go to a bar to try to just self-will himself not to drink, we shouldn't try to self-will ourselves by trying to beat ourselves up and try harder to resist something. Instead of going where we don't need to be, we go to Jesus and we focus on a greater joy. And through that greater joy, Jesus draws him to himself. Jesus draws us to himself by his love. Jesus wants to save us. Jesus wants to draw us to him. And Jesus stepped in for us because he loves us. When I was in fourth grade, I remember taking a test, and we were sitting at a table, and some of my buddies were next to me, and I don't know what I was joking about or why I even wanted to talk, but as soon as I started to joke, I could tell, I could hear my teacher's footsteps coming up behind me, and I knew I was in trouble, and I saw her shadow, and I knew I was in for it. But in stepped one of my closest friends, and he took the blame for the punishment that I deserved. He said it was him, even though it was me. And there was something so compelling from that point on about that friendship, because I knew I was in the wrong, and yet someone else was looking out for me on my own behalf. And that's the love of Jesus that we get to experience here on such a greater level. That Jesus, because he loves us, he stepped in our place for us. Isaiah 53 continues in verses 5 and 6, where he says about Jesus stepping in our place, taking our punishment. He says, "He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds, we're healed." All of us, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every single one to his own way, and the Lord has laid upon him, Jesus, the iniquity of us all. There's a couple words I want to highlight there Because Jesus didn't only forgive us for the sins we committed, he also forgave us for our sinful condition, our heart. The word transgression means anytime we've acted against God's law, Jesus forgave us for those sins. Iniquity. Iniquity is this idea of having a sinful character, our innate character. Jesus forgave us even for that. And then he was chastised, he was rebuked for all of this in that life, in his earthly ministry. He didn't get a lot of pats on the back. He was chastised for us, rebuked by the world to bring us peace. The book of Hebrews says, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame. So right now, he's sitting in glory at the right hand of God. He saw that future hope that we would be saved. All of this, he took at the cross to forgive us and to save us. So this morning, as we're taking the Lord's Supper, as we think about the blood that was shed for us to forgive our sins and the body that was broken for us because of our sin, we need to be reminded that Jesus loves us and he did something about the love he has for us. If you think about it, we are a lot like forgiven criminals. But every single one of the crimes we committed was against the judge, against Jesus. And yet, even in all of this, him knowing all the wrongs we've ever done, he pardons us. He forgives us. But then he takes it even a step further. He doesn't just say, you're forgiven. But he steps down from his seat, puts on our handcuffs, and goes to take the death penalty on our behalf. Jesus did something about the love he has for us. And this is the beauty of God's love. The reason he came for us. Jesus says, for the Son of Man came to seek and save that which was lost. Luke 19:10. And so as we are preparing our hearts, as we're thinking about where we're at in our relationship with God, whether we're far from him or close to him, we need to remember the love that Jesus has for us and that he did something about that love. I want to close with two questions here. Two questions for us to think about before we take the Lord's Supper. The first is this: do you know the love of God, and have you been saved by him? And if you're sitting here this morning and something's holding you back, I want to ask you, what is that thing that's keeping you from being saved by the love of Jesus? At the end of the service, there will be a moment to respond. Some of our pastors will be up here at the front, and we'd love to talk to you about having a relationship with Jesus and growing in the church. The second thing is this. The second question is this. If today you are a follower of Jesus, what sins are you holding on to? What sins do you need to give to Jesus and confess to him today before partaking in the Lord's Supper? We want to come rightly before God and have a right relationship with him. He loves us. He saved us. And there's no greater love and no greater gift in this season than the love of Jesus. Let's pray. Jesus, in this time, as we still our hearts, as we push aside every other thought that is distracting us, every other thing that we have to do today, everything that we have to plan for this month, Lord, help us to see your salvation, to see your love. Help us to see our hearts as well, God, that we would be able to come rightly before you and get right with you, Jesus. Lord, if there's any unconfessed sin that we have that we need to get right before you, God, will we take that to you? Knowing that you're good, you're faithful to forgive us of all unrighteousness. But Jesus, if we have not trusted you, if we just know thoughts and facts about you, Lord, will we take what's keeping us and give it to you and come humbly before the throne? Say, Jesus, I want to make you my Lord and Savior. I want to follow you all the days of my life. I want to submit to you so you can guide me into the life that I was made for. Lord, would there be somebody today, somebody that gives their life to Jesus and says, I surrender everything. Lord Jesus, work on our hearts. Have your Holy Spirit lead us to you for the life of everlasting joy. Jesus, we love you today. We pray this all in your name.